Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Oh, hello. I didn't see
you. Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show that takes cocktails and true unsolved mysteries and puts them together for your ears. With me, as always, is the amazing Suze Kempner, who's doing that now. Oh, you're getting some crisps. The amazing Chris Stokes.
Hello.
I'm Masood, and I'm making a cocktail. Yum, yum, yum.
What you making?
So this is a lovely little experiment. Chris has got such a great little bar here. We're going to go brandy and praline syrup.
Praline syrup.
And I reckon a little bit of red vermouth. Sweet vermouth. The red one.
It comes in two flavours, orange and red.
Some of the red vermouth. I reckon just a touch of that. So we've got some brandy here, I reckon.
Yeah. Are you going to try with the cocoa bitters or not?
I think I'll try it with the cocoa bitters. You know what I think I'll do is I'll make it the original style and then I'll add the Rosso after to my own glass to see, rather than taint it.
I kind of want
to. You kind of want to? All right.
Yeah, quite fancy having a little try of that.
When you said, sweet vermouth, I don't know whether it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
I'll be like, no, I like it. Instantly the idea was like, yes, please.
All right. I'll put
some. Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because, not that this has any bearing on it whatsoever, but I like adding a little bit of sweet cherry to a Manhattan.
Ah, I see.
And not necessarily that sweet vermouth has got the same quality, but the idea of adding it to what you said you were going to make.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
What are your measurements?
So I'm going to...
Just a splash.
So if you're making it one, if you're just making one drink, I go two and then like maybe half of a measure of vermouth. And then, so two of brandy, half a measure of vermouth, and then, praline syrup.
Well, bearing in mind the syrup is always the sweetest thing.
So probably even less than half of that, I reckon.
But you don't want to lose it.
No, that's true. Maybe half. I'd say half. I'd say about half.
Okay.
I'd say about that much. About that much.
That's too much.
My dog made that noise earlier today. I was downstairs and he was just upstairs and I heard him go.
Oh, Jesus!
And I was like, what the fuck? And then he came pelting downstairs and I was like, are you okay? Everything all right? And he was like, yeah, mate, yeah. So he was fine. But then I found out why he made that noise when we came up here to start recording today. And there was just a clump of his hair on the sofa. So he'd obviously just tore it out somehow.
Oh, I thought he thought it was something else. Like he thought it was a thing.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, so you're stirring this one?
Yeah, I'm going to stir this one, I think.
Oh, interesting. Because with the syrup in there, you'd think that...
No, I'm going to stir it.
Okay, no, you know best. You're the expert.
Sometimes I don't even do that. I just pour them all in the glass, and then I swirl the glass a bit, and then I go,
Yeah, I know that you do that. And then you still go, oh, it's delicious. And I always think that, made well, it must be even better. What do you think, Matt? Need more?
I think we're going to need a touch more of this.
Ooh.
I was kind of hoping you'd say that.
Did you pause that?
I saw you put a little bit in and I was like...
I heard it.
I don't think you should get lost.
I heard it in your voice.
I really just...
No, I'm just saying, I just think, are you going
to... That's too much.
Yeah?
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good amount of that in there.
Okay.
I'd say.
Love praline? Thank you.
Really funny.
And some for Chris.
So, you know what you have to do is name it as well.
Ah. Oh,
that's got a good scent. kudos. I'm glad the praline was in the kitchen when we came here.
Oh, what are we going to call this?
Yeah, this was inspired by Sue's.
I saw praline syrup and went, can we have that?
So here we go. What are we going to call this? Let's see. Praline syrup, brandy.
I'm going to call it, I'm just nuts about brandy.
Oh, I like that.
That's rubbish.
That's shit.
That sucks.
It smells incredible.
Oh, it's really good. That is a dessert. Oh, wow. That is a dessert cocktail.
That's come out all right.
Kudos on that. Red vermouth, Missy.
The red vermouth.
Yeah.
Oh, the red vermouth. So you're going to go 2 fluid ounces of brandy. You're going to go maybe 1/2 ounce of red vermouth. And then praline syrup to taste. But I would go probably just over 1 ounce. Oh, no, just under 1 ounce, sorry. And then a little bit of cocoa bitters. Yum, yum, yum. How all y'all?
Like, really nice after this drink. Like, I can't stress enough that having Masood back making the drinks for us is like...
It's better.
It's such a step up from having to make our own.
That's very kind, guys.
Better.
Yeah. Like, you know sometimes like record, we have to make our own drinks.
Yeah.
When we've been recording over Zoom and stuff. Occasionally I'll hit upon one and I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's really nice.
Mm.
But what it tells me is that if Masood had made it for me, it even would be better. 3 times better.
Oh, what have you got for us today, Chris?
Today is, it's not necessarily a big hitter.
Okay.
But we've been doing the big hitters. We popped in on Spain a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
This week we're going to go to Italy.
Oh, what a nice holiday. We've been to the moon. Now we're going.
No, we never went to the moon. Prove it.
The burden of proof is on you.
This is Mauro de Mauro.
Double name. Brilliant. I love it. Mauro de Mauro. Mauro de Mauro. Like Mario and Luigi Mario. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
So, Mauro de Mauro was an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? The burden of proof is on you.
Well, no, I do run research. So
he does, I don't do it.
Do your own research.
Mauro de Mauro was an Italian journalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
He worked for a left-wing communist, basically, newspaper.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about him is that historically and previously, he'd been a supporter of Mussolini's fascist Italy.
Yeah. Okay. He's playing both sides.
So he comes out on top.
He was an investigative journalist, and he was a supporter of the fascist regime of Mussolini.
Okay.
God save the Queen!
But then, after that, sort of like in the 60s, he became a journalist for the left-wing newspaper L'Ora, and he was born in 1921.
Okay.
No one knows when he died, because his status is he's been missing for 51 years, 8 months and 14
Bloody
years.
Bloody hell!
Jesus
and he
Christ.
Went missing in 1970. So this also marks our first episode of the 70s.
Hey! The 70s rocked!
The missing things always make me a bit uneasy, because the idea that, like, so, like, what was it, famously, the singer of the Manic Street Preachers is...
Glenn Miller.
Is still... Glenn.
Wow, that's really done it for Chris. He loved that.
Oh my god.
That's right.
I can just picture that. Glenn Miller.
Everything must go.
I hope you like that song, because if you've ever read the what's it, the Stephen King book about the Kennedy assassination.
SK?
That song crops up in almost every chapter. I'm like, for fuck's sake. It's like every bar he goes into, every fucking drugstore he goes into, everywhere he was, like, Jesus.
But Stephen King doesn't write the
he writes. Oh, I wish he did. That'd be brilliant. He just writes at the song.
Is that why the
playing.
Book's so long?
Yeah, it's
it does feel like that's the music that people use to be like, we're in the 40s.
Yes, I stock, yeah.
Yeah. he's going back to 63. Oh, no, yeah. He goes back to the 50s, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And that's to live through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, yeah, that it's very much like, so strangely, there are some TV shows that do that really capture it, like when The Simpsons uses Spanish Flea as waiting room music, and I will always like background strange music, and I will always associate that, which I love. It's like, if I'm sitting in a waiting room, sometimes I will put on Spanish Flea and just sit there, sort of just staring into space. To kind of be like, this is funny. If this was actually playing, I'd be laughing. But yeah, like, it is definitely a 50s associated song. But anyway, to go back to Missing People, this Manic Street Preachers, when I found out about that, it was like one of the first things I'd found out about, like, someone just, like, I knew people went missing, obviously, but that was one of those things I was like, he just walked out and then he's gone.
I'll tell you what's, I know what you mean about, somebody to go completely and utterly missing, it's, it implies they're alive because
bodies turn up.
Yeah, bodies are found.
Yeah.
Certainly in a country as small as the UK.
Yes.
So with the Manic Street Preachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was in Italy, obviously.
Yeah. Which is equally a not very large country.
Yeah.
Slightly bigger than the UK.
Yeah.
I'd say so, yeah.
Because we are pathetically small.
Stupid little plaguey, turfy little fucking island.
It's BDE. That's why we went out and conquered everywhere.
BDE.
Like, we gotta sort out our tiny.
We're the Pete Davidson of countries. we're like, you look at us and you're like, really? Those guys? And then we're just like banging Kardashians.
I was like, where's the metaphor? Okay.
No,
I didn't.
It was truth in metaphor.
Because I wasn't into Pete Davidson until I found out two things about him. All the hot women he's banged, I was like, well, he must have something.
Yeah.
And then I found out he was 6'2". I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
6'2". The things I've done for 6'2". Carry on. Carry on. Frazzles.
Mero de Mero vanished in 1970.
Mm.
So he would have been, what, 40? Yeah, 49.
Right.
And he vanished from...
Now he's 100.
He was last seen in Sicily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, I've kind of like given you the overview of the fact that Mero de Mero was previously a supporter of
Mussolini.
Fascist Mussolini, and then became a journalist, investigative journalist for the left-wing communist newspaper, Laura.
And then
vanished. Okay, yeah. Now there might be several reasons as to why, so we'll look into some of those, and then that also digs into his past a little bit. So first of all, maybe it was because of his fascist past that he vanished.
He got caught.
Because when he started working at that newspaper, they were surprised.
Yeah, they're like, hang on, you should be here.
Like, there were people working at the newspaper that were like, hang on a minute, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, you famously do not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so his fascist past was maybe a little bit more than just being a supporter.
Oh.
So there was the armistice with Allied forces in 1943, and then after that he chose to follow the hardline fascist regime of the ISR, Italian Social Republic, in German-held Northern Italy. Because the Germans, this is part of the thing about being British and growing up here, it's very much a case of like, we fought off the Nazi
menace. Yeah.
And it kind of like, you kind of almost half forget that the Nazis did occupy other countries.
They actually, and they made it to the Channel Islands.
Yeah, so we never lived under Nazi occupation.
No.
Yeah.
So that really distorts our inflated opinion of ourselves as a country.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because France...
Did.
Yeah. And I'm not... Is this going to sound really... No, I don't think it is, because I do think that our nation could do with some massive humility.
Yeah.
But being occupied by the Nazis did humble the French. They're not... There's this idea that they're an arrogant people. No, they haven't got anything on the British.
Oh my God, we're the fucking worst. We're objectively the worst.
It's so strange because France has way better food, and then we make fun of them for having good food. But the food here is dreadful. And like, as in like culturally, the national food.
Though, lovely Sunday
roast. I'll give you roasts. I'm on the fence about the full English breakfast.
Yeah,
but we'll
lovely
get back
full
to that.
English. Lovely Sunday roast.
Lovely Sunday roast.
Frazzles.
That's it. That's all you got.
No, ice cream.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. You could have full English breakfast.
Mm.
Yeah.
You could have a roast for your lunch.
Yeah.
What do you have for your tea?
Wool's ice cream.
Would it be chips?
Viennetta.
Would it be chips? I guess chips. Fish and chips?
Oh, it's chips. Yeah, fish and chips.
Fish and chips. But all of those things require you to take the base ingredient and then disguise it in many other things.
Like,
do you want to know what a really good British dish is?
Okay. Tikka masala. Yeah.
Spaghetti bolognese, that's British.
Yeah, well, the way some of you guys make it, yes it is.
I had noodles. What is it? I got noodles and
noodles
ketchup.
Noodles and ketchup.
Was it? I asked something in marinara sauce. I got noodles and ketchup. I had to spend the rest of my life like a schnook. R.I.P. Ray Liotta.
So maybe Mara DeMaro was more than just a supporter of the fascist regime.
Right, he might have been.
Right.
He followed the hardline fascist regime in German-held Northern Italy because the Germans did
hold Northern
Italy. Yeah.
And then during the German military occupation of Rome, because you've got to remember as well, of course, obviously Mussolini and Hitler were
kind of pals, sort of.
Well, yeah, because Mussolini was a fascist,
yeah.
And then
there was allyship.
There was also Mussolini and his mistress's execution that made Hitler be like, "That's not going to happen to me." Bang.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen to me.
I'm going to. I'm going to. Excuse me. And then he's lying on the floor and just like.
More. But in my head, like, his butt is up in the air and it's going.
It comes out like.
So during the German occupation of Rome. 1943 to 1944, he was vice commander of the police under the commander Caruso. He was informant of Captain Erich Priebke and Colonel Herbert Kappler of the SS, so he was an informant to the SS.
Okay.
He was also a member of a special unit of home security in the Italian Social Republic. And incidentally, the Italian Socialist Republic in Italian was the Repubblica Sociale Italiana, which is abbreviated to RSI, Repetitive Strain. So he used a variety of aliases, DeMaro, and he managed to infiltrate several resistance organisations in Rome and Milan in order to hunt the partisans.
Holy shit.
So, as an undercover guy of a fascist leaning, when he then turns up to work at a communist Italian left-wing newspaper.
I'm surprised they didn't throw him out of the fucking building.
Especially as he's got, like, previous of being...
basically a spy to fucking hunt down partisans. That's fucking nuts.
He and his wife volunteered to join the Decima MAS, which was a brutal anti-partisan force under the command of a guy called Junio Valerio Boschesi. And he got a cool nickname.
Yeah, what was his nickname?
The Black Prince.
Oh,
hey, that is a cool nickname.
That is a pretty cool nickname.
It sounds also like the name of like a racehorse that people would be afraid to race against.
Yes,
or what Gammon's called Prince Harry now that he married Meghan Markle.
Oh shit!
That's good.
Meghan Markle, Queen of my heart.
DeMaro was arrested during the liberation of Milan in 1945. He escaped from prison camp that year, and he took refuge in Naples. He had two daughters with his wife as well at this point, Junia and Franca Valeria, and they are named after the Black Prince.
The Black Prince, yeah.
Junio Valerio.
Yes.
So he named his daughters after this.
This fuck. Oh, fuck.
Okay. It gets deeper, this.
Yeah.
Not necessarily this, but the whole thing of his disappearance.
Yeah.
He was accused of having participated in the Fos Ardientine massacre in March 1944, which saw 335 people executed.
Jesus. Oh.
He was accused of having been a part of that.
Right.
But he was absolved by the court in 1948.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Helps have friends in high places, I guess.
Then he moved to Sicily under an assumed name. He worked for local newspapers. And then in 1959, that's when he started working for the communist-oriented newspaper. And that's when journalists at that paper were like, what are you doing?
But did he go under in his own... because he said like he assumed some aliases for the other papers. Did he go under in his own name? Was he like, Big Dick, just like Big Dick Morrow's like, I'm going to fucking go
under. No, I think he moved there under the false name and then started working for the papers under a real name.
Okay.
You're right, because otherwise why would they know who he was? And because he'd been a supporter of Mussolini until the bitter end.
Oof.
He's stuck in there.
And fought in the brutal war against against the anti-fascists.
Bloody hell.
They were like, why were you here?
Yeah.
He joined a group of crack investigative reporters, and from the mid-50s to the 1970s, Laura, the newspaper that he worked for, hit the national spotlight for investigations and denunciations of ties between corrupt politicians and the mafia.
Oh, okay.
In 1960, so not that long after he joined this newspaper, he won one of the most important Italian journalism awards for crime investigations. He wrote pieces on drug trafficking and the construction boom in the 50s and the 60s that led to the destruction of the city's green belt and ancient villas. So okay. He was covering all of that.
Huh.
He was the first journalist in 1962 to publish a detailed map of the Mafia.
Whoa, okay.
Right.
It was confirmed 22 years later,
yeah,
in 1984, by a Mafia informant in his testimony to a judge. So it was
right.
Like, what he did 22 years ago was dead accurate.
Wow. Mm. Oh, they flip though, those guys. The Mafia,
oh,
yeah.
They can't wait to sing like canaries.
Yeah, they just... Give la, me a la, new la,
name.
La, la,
give me
la.
A new name and I'll give you all the names.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was kind of like bringing down the Mafia.
Jesus. Mm. Wow. Yeah.
And then he became obviously then a target for the Mafia. Buscetta was this Mafia informant that confirmed a
Buscetta?
Bush. And he confirmed what DeMaro had said 22 years earlier.
No.
He actually said that DeMaro was a walking corpse.
Blimey!
They've been forced to forgive the journalist. The Mafia have been forced to forgive the journalist because by this point, if he turned up dead, it was obvious he'd done it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His death would have raised too much suspicion.
See, look, even the Mafia are able to do that. It's like, it doesn't understand, it's why I don't understand, like, conspiracy with the government. It's like, oh, they just killed him. It's like, the Mafia have the sense to be like, if we do it, they'll know we did it.
Yeah,
so let's fucking not do
it.
Those are two reasons. First of all, his fascist past. Second of all, he made himself a target to the mob.
Yeah. He seems to like just sort of the thrill of being hated.
Maybe third, in 1962... there was a guy called Enrico Mattei.
Enrico Mattei?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was a public administrator.
And Savella?
He was a public administrator. And after the war, Second World War, he was tasked with dismantling the petroleum agency AGIP or EGIP.
Oh, okay.
AGIP, by the way. And that was a state enterprise which had been established by the fascist regime. He was supposed to dismantle it.
Right.
He was quite an important figure in Italy,
mm-hmm.
well known. And October the 27th, 1962, on a flight from Sicily to Milan, Mattei's jet plane crashed in the surroundings of a tiny village in Lombardy.
Okay. Ah. Hmm.
The cause of the accident remains a mystery. No one knows what caused that.
So no one survives this crash, obviously. He doesn't.
There are strong indications that the crash was caused by a bomb hidden in the airplane. Yeah. All three men on board were killed. Mattei, the pilot, and an American journalist called William McHale.
Okay. Hmm.
They all died.
Right.
The inquiry has officially declared it was an accident, but not everybody thinks that's the case.
Right. Okay.
Because Mattei had made a lot of political enemies. So they think, especially the strong indicators that the plane was deliberately attacked by a bomb, that it was...
the Mafia?
Or political opponents. Mm. Or basically that Mattei got done in.
They got him. He got.
DeMaro did an investigation.
Oh, shit.
Into it.
Get DeMaro on the case.
Yeah. During his time with the energy conglomerate, Mattei had tried to break the Seven Sisters.
Just down near Haringey, yeah.
basically, Mattei coined that term himself to being like the dominant oil companies of the mid-20th century.
Oh, okay, right.
And he tried to dismantle the sort of like... that it's not a monopoly when it's a load of companies, but basically the stronghold that all of the companies shared.
Gotcha, right, okay.
And in 1959, in the middle of the Cold War, he brokered an oil import deal with the Soviets.
Fuck, wow.
Over intense protests from the US and NATO.
Hmm.
He also supported independence movements against colonial powers such as Algeria. And then the National Security Council of America described him as an irritation and obstacle in a classified report from 1958. So this guy wasn't making friends.
Yeah.
The French could not forgive Mattei for his involvement with Algeria.
Because
tensions with France and Algeria have notoriously been...
yeah.
strained.
Yeah.
There's even a very specific racial slur in France for people of Algerian
descent. Oh, really?
What?
Yeah, it's
weird.
Mm. The French didn't like him. The US didn't like him. A lot of people in Italy didn't like him.
No.
So responsibility for his death has been attributed to the Mafia, the CIA, and a French nationalist group called the Organisation Armée Secrète.
I feel like it's probably
and not all of them, yeah. But like any one of them. Yeah, that's basically what people are saying.
I'm really going to rule out the CIA though, because they're. I mean, it'd be some sort of Acme-esque. Like, can we drop an anvil on the plane?
Or right.
Is there any way we could, you know, get some sort of Wile E. Coyote-esque?
Yeah. Didn't the CIA like invent a heat ray that would burn you in your clothes?
Yeah.
Heat up the molecules of water in your body.
Yeah.
So that you would be like burning underneath your clothes.
Yeah.
And it was like. It's shit. It took 12 hours to charge for a start.
Yeah.
And it could blast for about 15 minutes. And you had to be directly in that ray.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. And they put so much money into developing this
thing. Got this heat ray and someone's just like, oh, that's
yeah, they called ray. It just, they called it like the death ray, didn't they? This idea of like...
Right, yeah. Boil you in your
And then
your
there was another
skin.
Thing. Is this... Did we talk about this when it was sort of like speaking about the Manhattan Project? But the like the invisible, like the stealth... Ship, like the submarine that was invisible. They tried to make a submarine invisible.
Yes.
I seem to remember vaguely this. Yeah.
And then they were looking into time travel as well and stuff.
Yeah, they're like, we'll go back in time. Okay, yeah. We got to rule all this out.
Anyway, so in 1970, not long before he went missing, DeMuro was investigating the case again because movie director Francesco Rossi was making a movie called The Mattei Affair, which was
about right.
And so DeMuro was looking into it again. That movie was released in 1972, by the way.
When did that watch?
And he was convinced that Mattei's aircraft had been sabotaged and was looking into possible links between the mafia and the crash.
Yeah.
So 2 days before his disappearance, DeMuro interviewed a Christian Democrat politician and former right-hand man of Mattei, this guy called Vassotto. He knew that mafia boss Giuseppe Di Cristina... quite well, and he'd been best man at the Christina's wedding, and he'd been with Mattei on his airplane the day before he crashed.
Okay, right.
DeMuro was convinced that he'd got hold of a story of a lifetime. He called it like a big scoop that was gonna.
It's the big scoop.
turn Italy upside
scoop.
Down.
Yeah, goes into the editor's office. Yeah, like,
I have a scoop that is gonna shake Italy. He told his colleagues at the newspaper.
Yeah,
and then 2 days later, it vanished.
Wow.
Shit.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
His body's never been found, despite like a lot of searching
for, yeah.
Top level forces from Rome, and also there was a special investigative committee of the Italian Parliament that looked into it.
Yeah,
right.
So this is where. So it's funny because, like, obviously. We were just talking about conspiracies before, you know, in the last episode. And then you hear something like this and it's like, it's not a conspiracy if the country is consumed by corruption and crime.
That's it, yeah.
And they just go, oh, we'll just kill him. You know, or we'll make him disappear. It's like, that's not a conspiracy. That's just people using their resources to get what they need. And I mean, that's mad. It's like, he was investigating this thing. 2 days later, he's gone.
Yeah.
To me, there was 3 options. Mm-hmm. He was killed for his fascist past.
Yeah.
Or he made an enemy of the mafia just anyway.
Yeah. Or the state.
Or it was because of the investigation into Mattei.
Yeah.
Like, it seems to me like it was the investigation into Mattei. Because that's what he was currently doing.
Yeah.
But also, if the mafia were involved in Mattei's murder, then it could be options B and C.
Yes. The first one feels like... We might. We'll take that off the list as well. We've got the other two things. We might as well. He's a nasty man. We'll cross them off.
Or an opportunist.
Yeah,
because there is the other option. If those two are the most likely, yeah. Occam's Razor, Mafia, and the death, like the Matai plane crash.
Mm.
No one's really looking at one, but it could be that because he had a history of infiltrating.
Mm.
The left wing anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
That maybe he'd been found out as a...
That's right, and somebody... I mean, this is mad, though. It's like this... See, this is the sort of thing I think, like, fucking hell, that's really, like... I mean, cool in the sense of, like, I've never heard of this fucking guy. And, like, this whole thing where he's investigating this very suspicious death of a, you know, top person in the...
He could have been wise to the fact that people were out to get him, and he could have made himself disappear. Like, he could have legged it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think there's a point where if you were an ex-supporter of a fascist regime who's famous for infiltrating left-wing places and then go to a left-wing newspaper and then investigate something about... You'd be like, yeah, this is looking pretty dangerous, actually.
Yeah.
I want to cover my own ass here. I better get out.
Did anyone go with him? Like, did anyone else disappear with him?
No. So,
his wife and kids were still...
So what actually happened, apparently, when he vanished...
Yeah.
He was kidnapped on the evening of 16th of September 1971, coming back from work in Palermo, which is in Sicily.
Yeah.
And then, in response, thousands of police, equipped with helicopters and dogs, combed all of Sicily in search of him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Just couldn't find him.
That'd be a good bit in a film.
Yeah, and then if it's him running away, you'd see... police running around and you'd see a manhole cover and it would just slip over and shut and he's like
like fucking Gaddafi. he hid in a drain eventually and they just dragged him out of it.
Brutal. That was proper brutal, and he's like screaming like, oh, my brothers, my sisters, what are you doing to me? It's like fucking killing you, mate.
yeah destroying you from the inside out.
So it wasn't through lack of, like, because there was a big investigation into where they're gone, but like there was also got kind of muddled, and it seemed like people were trying to, like, corruption within the police force and whatever were trying to deviate the investigation, so it kind of got hampered.
Yeah.
In 1994, Buscetta, from the Mafia, claimed responsibility and said the Mafia had done him in.
Oh shit! So he's like, yeah, we did it. Fucking hell.
I guess, like, what's the statute of limitations? Is there such a thing? But either way, it's
I'm not sure how that works in other countries. I'm pretty sure it's like a general thing, and also, most law.
Yeah, and the Mafia aren't going to be like, well, we're squeaky clean. Are you suggesting that we kill people?
Like, how dare you, sir?
They'll probably be like, yeah, no, he was making it. Like, and it was 24 years afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. So, what are they going to do? Yeah.
But whether or not that's true is like...
Yeah, it could be another... Yeah. It feels like... it's a thing. What do they have to gain if it's not true? What do they have to gain?
So in 1994, Buscetta declared that the Sicilian Mafia had done it. Then another Mafia turncoat in 2001 declared that he was killed because he'd learned that one of his former fascist friends, the Black Prince, was involved in the planned 1970 coup.
Oh, shit. Okay.
To take back control for fascists.
Right.
With like-minded army officers in terms of stop what they considered Italy's drift to the left. And then another Mafia turncoat who started to collaborate with Italian authorities after his arrest in 2010.
Jesus.
Said that the journalist was killed because of investigative reporting that damaged the Mafia. So then it was a more general thing and not necessarily just that it was to do with the time.
Right.
They said that the order for De Mauro's killing came from the heads of the Sicilian Mafia Commission. And according to... this turncoat from 2001, he said that the remains of him were buried under a bridge over the Oreto River, but the police searched there in the past and hadn't found anything.
Wow.
So to came to that, another turncoat then said...
Fucking hell, these guys are flipping faster than summer burgers. This is nuts.
Another turncoat then said that the reason the body hadn't been found was because the Mafia had been ordered to move the body from about 1977 to 1978, to dissolve them in acid.
That doesn't feel like a particularly mafia-y thing, though, the dissolving. That feels like a Breaking Bad thing, but not necessarily a mafia thing.
But De Carlo, who was the one that testified in 2001, that resulted in a judicial inquiry being reopened. And then in April 2006, more than 35 years after his disappearance, the trial on his murder started at the Court of Palermo, with the former mafia boss of bosses as the only remaining defendant.
Okay.
The boss of bosses. Mm. You truly are the boss
you
of bosses.
You truly are.
On the 10th of June, 2011, that boss of bosses was acquitted because of insufficient evidence.
All right, okay.
So Franca, Demera's daughter, said, "I'm very upset because after 40 years we still have no answer about what happened that day. The mystery continues."
Probably done in
almost certainly and almost certainly by the mafia, but there are even inconsistencies with what the mafia are saying.
Well, that's
it's not even that the mafia are like, "We didn't do it," and then it turns out that they did. The mafia are saying they did do it, and then the body wasn't where they said it was.
It's like, really weird. It's like how ISIS sometimes will take credit for some attack which is by a lone dickhead who just subscribes a bit to their we did this, and it's like, that sounds like what the mafia do now. Like, we're hard guys.
Yeah, and it's because like their power is fear. Yeah. So like they'll snatch it. So it's like the mafia know that they need to be intimidating.
Yes.
So part of that will be they're saying,
"Oh yeah, we totally did it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, we killed the guy."
Yeah.
Mm. 24 years after the fact, when it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah. The acid thing does. That feels like an inconsistency though, definitely, because like that. Yeah, that's definitely a more modern gangster thing, as opposed to, I don't know, it just feels, also, but getting
the late 70s would have, I mean, like
getting
was,
large
who quantities. Was the acid bath murderer?
Dennis Nielsen.
No, there was the acid bath
murderer. Oh no, he just put people in, he just his old bodies, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was that was in the 50s, wasn't it?
Dennis Nielsen.
No, the acid bath murderer. Dennis Nielsen was the 80s.
Yeah.
Or the 70s. The acid bath murderer was like...
He just put people in baths of acid alive.
No.
He'd kill them
and then dissolve the bodies.
John Hay.
That's it, yeah.
Six people, although he claimed to kill nine. Yeah. Died 1949.
Oh, so it was the 40s then?
Yeah.
So like, it's not outside the realm of possibility that that's a way of disposing bodies for the... But
yeah.
Like,
it just feels like it's not... Like, the mafia is very much... At least from what I understand, it's very much like, kill him and then probably bury the body, because like...
But it also kind of feels like their lie got caught out, because they were like, his body's buried under this bridge. Ah, well, the police searched there and there isn't anything. Well, the reason for that is because we got told to dig him up and...
We dig him up and we put him in acid. Yeah. Right.
That feels a bit like reaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're retconning their thing of like trying to get back on it.
Yeah, I think that the mafia probably did do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can agree on who did.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. And also like fucking government can't stop fighting in amongst itself. Members of the front bench can't stop fighting. You think the mafia will just get along?
Exactly. Yeah. If anyone's definitely not going to get along, famously so.
I think it's the mafia.
With infighting. Yeah. It's absolutely the mafia. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think like it would have been somebody. I even maybe go as far as to say like someone did him in, and then someone else went, "Oh, why the fuck did you do that?"
Yeah, I think.
Oh,
right.
You idiot! Sake. We already said that we weren't going to because it was going to arouse suspicion.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and they're like, "Wow, for fuck's sake!" Well, that's going to come and bite us in the ass at some point. As for Matei, to sort of go back there, I don't know. I feel like he's another one where it's like, well, two and one. We got a twofer in this, this mystery. I feel like that's possibly also a mafia type thing, rather than a governmental or slash part of these oil company thing, because that feels too. They're not organized enough to do something like that. I feel like Matei was probably another mafia thing where they're like, "Well, he's cutting off our supply of some sweet, sweet cash. We don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, that's fucking. Yeah. We'll get rid of him."
Mm. Or he's still alive and he's 100.
Yeah, this is true. He could still be.
He's like, old, really, really, really old.
He's down on that farm in Argentina with Hitler.
He was the lad standing with the queen on the balcony.
He's 101 years old.
Yeah.
Down in South America with the 133-year-old Hitler, who calls him young man.
And they have a little friend, Masood.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, I'm ready to do some more cooking. Oh, come in, young Masood.
Come in. He's but a boy.
He was my friend.
Why do you want to do this? You take the praline syrup.
are you writing this down?
Do you know what would help this? Sweet vermouth.
Sweet vermouth.
Oh, Mr. Hitler, you're so smart. You go home and you're like, I've been making drinks with my friend Mr. Hitler. Your mum's like, sure you have, Masood.
In this fantasy, I am wearing dungaree shorts.
Yes, yes, yes.
And a cat,
and only
cat
dungaree shorts.
With...
No shirt.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just like the denim.
And you're your age and size now.
Do I have a butt flap?
And it's always open.
Yeah, it's always open. It's always open.
And Hitler's like, oh, Masood, let me get that for you. Like, no.
Yeah, but it's like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 3. There's yes, nothing underneath. It's you've gone commando. you're the half-naked child man that they teach to cook.
He's like Walter White. Yes. Now we cook. You're like, okay, Mr. Hitler, but it's just cocktails.
Oh my god.
And nice dinners.
You've got to shake it, shake it,
shake it, shake it. Yeah. Like a Polaroid picture.
I love Outcast.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks, Mr. Hitler. You're such a good friend.
That was a short one. Mm. But I think the Mafia did do it.
Yeah.
Maybe not Matai, but I think they... But why would they then get annoyed with him looking into it?
Yeah. It's not outside the realms of possibility, but I think they definitely got Maro de Maro. They definitely got him. Maro y Maro sounds like a weird foreign movie.
Also, I like that he's a bit of an unusual guy in that he was a fascist supporter and then a communist journalist.
Yeah!
That was such a what a turn, yeah. What a twist.
But which suggests to me that like that wasn't all that it seemed either. So no. I don't know.
It feels it's yeah, like you were saying, it's like he famously would infiltrate left wing things, but then also still win prizes for journalism.
Yeah, and like taking down trying to take down the Mafia.
Maybe he was trying to turn a new leaf.
Yeah,
and everyone is like, everyone doubted him. You know, he's just a good lad trying to turn over a new leaf. He wasn't. He was not a good lad.
Bad lad.
He was a bad lad.
Oh, you bad sod.
Oh, you bad sod.
It's an Alan Bennett thing, isn't it?
It sounds very Alan Partridge.
Yeah, that's Maro de Maro and Matai.
All right. Amazing. Thank you very much,
Chris. Super quick double bill.
Yeah. I feel like a Grindhouse movie.
Some fake trailers in
there. Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. You know where to find us. You can find us on twitter.com/MrOnTheRocks, spell ROX, because X gonna give it to you. That's also the same on Instagram. You can also email us, MrOnTheRocks, spell ROCKS, @gmail.com, to be like, hey, Masood, why don't you do that little Franco voice anymore? It's not racist.
We miss it.
Come on, please. Also, you could join our Patreon, patreon.com/MrOnTheRocks. You can find all sorts of great stuff like early access, if you're on tier one, early access to episodes. And these videos, which you can now watch or are already watching. You can also, if you go up to tier two, you can get yourself some bonus things like recipe cards. Outtakes.
Recipes.
Mini episodes.
And full bonus episodes.
And then on tier 3, you can get yourself so all that lovely stuff and some merch on top of it.
And free tickets to any live shows that we do.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Which we will do. That it's been...
You know, it's
hard to organise three separate calendars.
Yes. But we'll do it. We'll get to it.
Probably the autumn.
I reckon it's good. Rate us, subscribe to us on your chosen podcast. What is it? Listening device or thing of choice.
Yeah, don't platform. Use
platform. That's the one.
But the best thing to review us on is iTunes.
Helps a lot. Thank you very much, everybody.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.